Are you an ally? This is a question that may get many mixed responses. Who wouldn't want to be perceived as an ally? Well, there are some folks, but perhaps it's the folks in the middle chasm that feel the most struggle. I am not here today to tell you what an ally is or isn't. Well, maybe I really am going to tell you what an ally is or isn't. But I hope to be faithful to what the students have invited me to do, which is to tell my story. Now, part of what makes this difficult is that I have been trying to preach without being so autobiographical. I've noticed that I do that an awful lot. And at the same time, it is difficult for me to do this task today without being autobiographical. So for those of you who are exhausted with me telling parts of my story, I ask for your forgiveness and patience. And for those of you who are just downright nosy and love to hear people share their experience, you will be just fine. But let us all remember that the text is where all of us preachers begin. The text from Isaiah is one that I've lived with for many months now. It is a challenging text, and so is that of Luke. It has been one, they've been a couple of texts that I have had to allow myself to be read by them. The transformation of the promise, the hope for people who are coming out of exile is real. And I think it is what the Spirit has led to this reflection today. I do confess that I will not do either text justice, nor will I fully, adequately present what it means to be an ally. For you have to ask a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered person that question. So with that, I ask you to remember your humanness in the midst of mine, and that in spite of our limitations, perhaps God's Holy Spirit will touch us. Will you please pray with me? Oh God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What happens if you decide to become an ally? I thought about sharing with you how I have lost calls to churches, but then being one called me to start a church. I thought about sharing with you the pain and sacrifice, but then being an ally has really been a blessing. I thought about giving you a litmus test so you could figure out if you were an ally too, but then that is a relative thing. Some of us are loud and some are quiet. I thought about many things and then realized all I can tell you is what it is like for me. Now, I know too much television can be a very bad thing, but sometimes you see things on television that just make a light bulb go off, and I turn it on. The other day, I was trying to calm my multitasking brain, so I watched television. It has a great numbing effect. A commercial came on, and there it was. An insurance commercial capturing for me what it meant to be an ally. Picture this, there's a restaurant scene, there's a large table, a lot of people are around this circular table, they're all eating and talking at the same time, and one person starts to choke. Someone at the table on the other side sees what's happening, gets up, comes over to the person, gives them the Heimlich maneuver. The food object flies out of the person's mouth, hits the other person across the table at their table. Meanwhile, this person goes back to their table, and everybody else here keeps yakking and talking and eating. And then someone says, yeah, that's what the guy needs, a Heimlich maneuver. Well, I think allies need to remember that we do not talk about what is needed. They step up to the plate and do what is needed. Being an ally isn't knowing what to do. It is doing what you know is right, just, loving, and faithful. Now be aware, you will either be viewed unrealistically as a saint or demonized as a false prophet. Once you are out of the closet, everybody seems to know what you are, how you are, what you think, what you're going to say, and even what you're going to do before you do it. Well, I can tell you that being an ally is accepting the towel of servanthood, not to human beings, but to the gospel of Jesus Christ and his radical understanding of justice, peace, and love. This is a very challenging thing to live up to, and to be honest, most of the time, I fail at it. But the call is to continue to accept the never-ending role you will play in people's lives. To be an ally in community means that you might be perceived as one of the very people that you support. So how do you accept being classified an outcast when you are a regular person? You might find that you even have a homophobic side. When I was a student here, someone asked about me. You know, they were interested in me. I mean, they wanted to ask me out for a date. They were curious. The answer that they got upon asking about me was this: "Oh, she's probably a lesbian. She doesn't have a boyfriend. All her male friends are married and gay. She's a militant feminist, and she hangs around with Meredith all the time, and I'm sure they're lovers." Well, at the first sound of that description, I had many mixed emotions. I was angry, I was very frustrated, and I was deeply hurt. So I went to my advisor, Beth Nordbeck. Meredith went with me. We shared our confusion of how to respond, and we all came to the conclusion that if we presented ourselves as being offended and reacted defensively, we would be insulting our friends who were lesbian, gay, and bisexual. I wasn't even really thinking about transgendered folks at that time. If we didn't say anything, we would be cast against our own sense of personhood. Well, in those days, students hung out on the second floor outside of Bud Hartley's office. Meredith and I had a plan. We walked to class across the quad, holding hands, went to the table where all the good people were gathered. We kissed each other on the cheek, asked if the other one would be all right, and then we went to our respective classes. You could have heard a pin drop on the ugly green carpet, and there wasn't another word mentioned. Now, I am often labeled as a lesbian. It is used by people who use lesbian as an inflammatory word. But now I thank them for the compliment and move on. Being a lesbian is not a bad thing, so why be offended? I do think it would be interesting if we would walk around saying, "Oh, he's just a heterosexual, poor thing, he can't help it." To be an ally in community requires us to stand in solidarity, to give voice to the voiceless, to represent folks who need to stay invisible for self-preservation, even when we have responded to be out there on the front line, to accept it when someone just can't come out because it isn't safe. It is also important that when you are accused of being politically correct, that you don't shut up, and to understand that the gospel calls us to be partners with all of creation, to tell your story and to allow others to tell theirs, and above all else, don't ever think that you know what it means or is like to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered. And also remember, they owe you absolutely nothing. You need to be an ally because you want to be, and that because it is a blessing. But this blessing also comes with the price tag of being brutally honest. Honest to the fact that not all GLBT folks are nice folks. Some are as racist, sexist, homophobic, and elitist as the rest of our culture. Narrowness is not a gift given only to straight people. And openness and acceptance is not embodied by all GLBT folks. Humans will be human. I know you're tired of hearing about politics around here, but I want you to remember that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered folks voted for Bush and Kerry. They have conservative and liberal theological perspectives. GLBT folks can be loving and mean. They can make just as many mistakes, be as successful and as faithful. GLBT folks are human, which means they are just as fallible and sinful as the rest of us, no less and definitely no more. To be an ally, an honest one, is to never put anyone higher than the angels, even those you seek to protect and advocate for. When folks have come to me from the gay community, I hear them speak as though they are still in exile. In many cases, they are. They either stay in hiding and try to live out lives that are full, or like many teens, kill themselves because it is just way, way too painful. These past 5 years of GLBT weeks have felt like returning to a new Eden. We are not there yet, but we are getting there. And on the road, the remnant believes in the promise of what is about to come. The community that is dreamed about might just be a possibility, but it takes time. Lots of time. The time that it takes cannot be measured in human concepts. That kind of time requires a huge amount of faith and trust. A faith and trust in something that is entirely bigger than us. A trust in a God that can transform what even seems doomed for destruction. All the plight is transformed into hope, and the beloved community gathers. For like the days of the tree shall the days of my people be. There is a lot of pain that comes with the apocalypse. The Gospel of Luke is pretty graphic about that. There is death and destruction. It ain't pretty. But the promise is so, so beautiful that we trust in it, we hope for it, and we bathe ourselves in its possibility. Someone once asked me to describe how she could be included in the church again. Would the former things ever be in the past for real? Could God ever truly make things new again, even to the point where she would be included? This was right after she told me about her father excommunicating her from the church of her childhood because she was a lesbian. He was the pastor. He was the one who stood up in the midst of the congregation and read the charges while family, friends, neighbors watched, listened, and remained silent. In that moment, the broken body of Christ and the blood of Christ took on a different meaning for me. I don't like the body-blood thing, but at that moment, I thought Jesus, the suffering Jesus, in his commonness, Jesus suffered in his act of being an ally with all of humanity. He gave us the bread of life and the cup of blessing for us to take in and be transformed by a mystery that could and would, can and will make us whole. Perhaps there is always a breaking down before building up is possible. I don't know. What I do know is that I've been called to stand with this woman and others like her. I say it's in my DNA. You see, the first ally I ever met was my mom. My mother was an electrologist when I was a child. Electrologists are people who do permanent hair removal. Doesn't that sound exciting? I used to play receptionist in her waiting room of her office. I would greet patients as they came in. I'd write her memos and messages. There were all kinds of people who would come into her shop. Most of them were women who wanted to get the mustache removed from their upper lips. Two women from Farmville, Virginia, used to drive all the way to Richmond to see my mom. It took a while, but I realized that they were a couple, and I watched my mother care for both of them with a great sense of dignity. She talked about their commitment and the tenderness of their relationship. Now, she knew I was checking things out, and she always knew how to say something that would answer a question I was far too embarrassed to ever ask. I would be thinking, weird, are they together? And Mom would say, isn't it nice to see two people so caring and devoted to each other? That is healthy love. Healthy love. One day I noticed one particular person who came in every week. He was changing. He was kind of morphing before my eyes, very slowly. This time I couldn't hold it in because it was way too interesting. And I said, Mom, that was a guy, but now he looks like a girl. Now, you know, most parents are just terrified when they have to talk to their children about the birds and bees, much less gender transformation. What is he? I asked. My mother said, yes, she was a he, but now he is becoming a she. Now, I guess I didn't look satisfied with her response. I looked a little puzzled. And then she said, she is just trying to become what God created her to be. With that, I was satisfied, and I enjoyed watching the transformation. I tried not to stare, but she was really becoming beautiful. She started to glow, her shoulders started to go back, she started to smile, and when she came in, she'd say, hi, Susan. Now, I was about 7 or 8 years old when this happened, about the age my daughter is now. It was a pioneering time. Whenever I get irritated with my mother, who is now 80 years old, and the irritation is more often than not, I wonder if her negativity comes out of the great disappointment she feels because the beloved community she hoped to see in her lifetime has yet to be realized. And I have to remember her as that first ally that I ever met. This is the woman who would wake us up at 2 a.m. and say, get dressed, so-and-so needs us. This is the woman who would go to the wrong side of the tracks, drive someone to church nobody else even wanted to sit next to once they got there. This is the woman who taught me that God is love, nothing complicated, just a challenge to live out. So she taught me to be an ally. There was never any coercion. It was just a natural thing to do. For my mom, it was what she learned by reading the Bible, teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir. When she had her conversion, her born-again experience, she promised to live and dedicate her life to Christ, and she has. She and many others of her generation are not known as the greatest generation because of the wars that they fought, but because of the wars they tried to prevent. The solidarity they represented and the courage they had to be out there when being out there was unheard of. It cost her a job, family, and friends. They lived through the McCarthy era. They lived through the days when women were dying in alleys because of inadequate health care. They lived through the days when being the new people in the promised land meant you were just a foreigner, so keep your place. My mom sold her house to people of color when white supremacists threatened to burn the house or, worse, hurt her children. She knew what it meant to have guts. I know that there are people in the world like that patient in my mother's office who went on to live happy, faithful, and full lives because of what she dared to do. She dared to be an ally. As we come to the table today, coming out of exile, my hope and prayer is that we will be filled with the gifts of courage and peace from the one who stood with us and dances among us today. Jesus would have allowed us to choke on our own foolishness. That's exactly what he could have done. Instead, he became the fool. In his commonness, Jesus suffered. In his act of being an ally with all humanity, he gave us the bread of life and the cup of blessing for us to take in and be transformed by that mystery that could and would, can and will make us whole. Perhaps there always is a breaking down before building up is possible. I don't know. What I do know is that being an ally in community is a challenge. It is never easy. Blessings never are. But you will always be able to wake up in the morning, go to sleep at night, knowing that you have been honest with yourself and others, and most of all with your God. The Holy One says, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever, for I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people a delight." We are the seeds of the new life. May we all flourish vibrantly. Thanks be to God. Amen.